This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
So I want to make this quick, and I don't want to jump too much into this, and probably I shouldn't even be talking about this. Number one, I want to thank all the SPD officers out there. Really, I want to thank all the police officers out there, whether they work for the SPD or the Bothell PD or the Tacoma PD, wherever. No matter what you're doing, thank you so much for all the work you do. But special shout out to the SPD, who has had to come to the station way too many times because of stuff that I've had to deal with thanks to a whole bunch of trolls and cowards who are out there. And so, one, thank you for all the work that you're doing. Number two, understand that if you threaten me, whether you're doing it via email, whether you're doing it via phone call, whether you're doing it via Twitter, understand we will find out exactly who you are, as we have done this in the past, and I take it very seriously. Whether you threaten me with violence, whether you threaten me with doxing, whatever it is, understand we take it very seriously. We have really, really good professionals at the SPD who track down these people and have done this in the past, and we go ahead and we press charges. So just keep that in mind the next time you're dumb enough to put it in an email thinking that we don't have access to your IP address. Did I give too much information away? Will that hurt? Was it you, Tom? You're the one who did it, isn't it? Did you send me the threat?
Maybe you'll start treating me with some respect.
Yeah. That's a good strategy.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? The cops are back? They're looking for a Tom Amato?
Wait.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let me rephrase.
Wait, hold off on the cops for a second.
Yeah, what I was saying was
what was that?
I respect the cops. They're great.
So it wasn't you?
No, I mean, no.
It wasn't Tom. I agree. I'm sure he's done something too, but not this. Okay. Let's find out what else is trending.
In Seattle.
I know it seems like a joke to ask this question, and in a lot of ways, I suppose it is. Does Jenny Durkin, the mayor of Seattle, does she actually live in Seattle? Now, I know she lives in Seattle, but I'm kind of wondering where in Seattle does she live that she does not seem to be in touch with the reality of what's going on here in Seattle. We've been having this conversation about whether or not the DNC is going to bring a debate to the Seattle area. Activists in the Democratic Party want it to come here, and I want it to come here too. I don't care if it's a Democratic debate. I want it here too. But there was a quote in Crosscut today attributed to Jenny Durkin that just is mind-boggling. Makes no sense. In the piece, she says, having a debate in Seattle shows that Democrats can harness a booming economy, face the real challenges it creates, and have a vision for building an inclusive and just future. Okay. What she's talking about doesn't make any sense to me. It feels like she doesn't actually live in Seattle the way that you're going to pretend that the city of Seattle can serve essentially as a case study in Democratic leadership. Now, if that's what they want to do, if that's how they want to handle this, okay, fine. Create a case study for Seattle. That's not going to serve the Democratic Party well. Let's be clear about something. Despite this booming economy under this mayor, homelessness has gotten worse. We've seen an uptick in rape, in murder, in robbery, in property crime. Amazon is gradually ditching Seattle for Bellevue. On top of that, housing costs out of control. Traffic congestion out of control. Property taxes and other regressive taxes out of control. We talk about tackling homelessness, but then we don't do anything. And then we put our heads in the sand when we don't have any meaningful results. You have the city, according to Christopher Rufo over at City Journal, the city working with a consulting firm to put out all of this misinformation about homelessness here because they were embarrassed by what Como TV did and Eric Johnson did on the documentary Seattle is Dying. Crime is getting worse in this city, in large part because city attorney's office is disinterested in enforcing the law. The council goes after cops who try to enforce the law. The cops themselves are told not to enforce the law. Businesses are leaving this area. And the ones that stay, they end up dealing with horrible crime. Fen Wong, the owner of a building that includes an art gallery, She told Como TV that just a few months ago, a homeless man went into her business and assaulted her when she offered him a glass of water.
Open palm, slapped me across the face a couple times. Then I must have crumpled, but he hit me on the back of the head.
That's what's happening right now in Seattle for the businesses that choose to stay. Weyerhaeuser decided to move their headquarters from Federal Way to Seattle. You know what they experienced after that? They experienced workers being harassed by homeless people, some of them being spit on and urinated on. That's what's happening in Seattle. We have Cancer Pathways, a nonprofit group in Capitol Hill in Seattle. They're threatened with serious fines for not being quick enough to clean up the graffiti that's put on their walls on a regular basis. Week after week after week, they beg. They absolutely beg the city to help. The city does nothing but threaten them. This is a nonprofit. They don't have tons of money to put into painting walls to cover up the graffiti. Where does Mayor Durkan live? That she is this proud of Seattle, so proud of the scenario right now unfolding on our streets, that she wants to invite a national audience here. I totally believe in having pride in the cities that we live in and the cities that we represent. But because I have pride in this area, I'm disgusted by what the city is becoming. And no Gene Balk over at the Seattle Times who wants to pretend that all is well. In fact, it was so much worse in 1987. No one is comparing anything to 1987. Can you believe that? A columnist in the Seattle Times who has become basically a troll blogger and troll Twitter user. He's saying, oh, is Seattle really dying? Well, it's nothing compared to the 80s. No one's having that conversation about the 80s. No one's making that comparison. You walk down certain streets in Seattle, it's dangerous. You're walking over human waste and needles. That is not the city that we deserve, and that's not the city that I would want to put on display to a national audience tuning in for a debate. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
A bill that would put Washington State on year-round daylight saving time just passed the state Senate by an overwhelming margin, 46-2. What this basically means is you're not going to move ahead an hour and then have to move back an hour anymore. We have one consistent time. Now, there was an amendment in the Senate bill, so they pass it back over to the House, but they're going to pass it. They're going to say yes, and then it goes to the governor's office. He's going to say yes. He's going to sign it, and then it goes to Congress. And then, frankly, I have no idea what happens. I have no idea how long it might take to go through the bureaucratic nonsense of trying to get this approved by the Congress. I don't know if Congress is all like, yeah, it's going to take 10 seconds. Let's just quickly do a vote. Or they're going to say, yeah, there's a lot more important things we need to focus on, not the stupid bill. State Senator Sam Hunt, a Democrat from Olympia, was on the Senate floor to say, yeah, a lot of states are on board with this. Let's get on board, too.
We'll put us in line with California, hopefully with Oregon, and maybe even British Columbia will join us as we advocate for full daylight savings time and would hope that with this unified approach on the West Coast that Congress will go with us. I know that the senator from Florida is pushing full daylight saving time, as are several other states, and hopefully we can keep this rolling and we'll get this accomplished in the next year or so.
Yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. Look, I'm not passionate either way. I find it annoying to change my clocks in my apartment, but that's kind of it. I know that there's reason to suggest that this makes people safer. I don't know how honest the studies are doing. I just don't know. They say that it can save about 400 lives every single year because when it's dark out, but earlier in the day, most of us are still doing our normal thing, like going to work and commuting home. And we have safer commutes when it's actually light outside. On top of that, you've got crime that tends to happen later on in the day and not early in the morning. And so shifting things around like that somehow has some sort of impact on crime. Okay. I mean, is anyone truly passionate either way on this? Like, legitimately, either way, are you passionate to keep or get rid of it? I just don't know anyone who's that passionate. It's just, it is what it is. It's something we complain about for the week leading into it and the week after, and then we move on.
That hour lost, though, on that one Sunday that I can never remember.
Oh, you're such a big baby. It doesn't impact you at all. You're not going to sleep anymore. You're not going to sleep any less. You're not going to change your lifestyle at all. And when you get the hour back, you're like, oh, cool, I get to sleep in again. No, you don't. You continue to stay up really, really late.
Right, because...
No, don't because
anything. You can sleep later.
No, yeah, but you don't.
Rock.
No, you don't, because it happens on a Sunday anyway. So then you're at work the next day.
It's that Saturday to Sunday. That's when
you get the extra hour. Big deal. Text me. I'd love to hear from people who are truly passionate about this. 1-800-465-8770. Text me on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Hey, did you know we're on Twitter? In fact, I'm so close to getting enough followers where they unlock a whole bunch of new tools for me to get our content out. So if you have not yet done so, please, please, please give me a follow on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRantsShow. Or no, just Jason Rants. Sorry, Facebook is Jason Rants Show. Twitter is Facebook or Twitter.
I'm so confused.
Oh my God, I'm confused now.
Where do I go?
Because I'm everywhere. It's not my fault. twitter.com/JasonRants. Rants with a Z. It's all one word. Go there now. Hit the follow button. And if we get 100 likes by the end of this week, producer Tom said that he would shave his head and I'd get to do it. Now, that's significant. That's the kind of dedication that he has to this show. And also, his last haircut he doesn't really like, and he's allowing me to do what I want to do to his hair. Stop. It's just true. Twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
So, Russell Wilson, a couple days ago, announced that he's got this new contract. Now, ESPN suggests that this is going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers used to hold that position. Now it goes to Russell Wilson. And the way he announced it was on Twitter in this video that was posted something like, what was it, 12:34 a.m. yesterday morning. And it's, we've all decided it was creepy, right? We're all on board on that.
Weird.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a little creepy. He's laying in bed under the covers. He's got Ciara right next to him, and then he says this.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
He sounds like the most tired person in the world. He's been up past midnight. Okay, stop it. Oh, my God. Hey, Seattle. I'm on board, man.
Wasn't tired enough to not put his chains on.
Yeah, it's so silly. But Tyler Lockett and DJ Fluker.
Yep.
They did a little spoof video in which Tyler played Russell.
Mm-hmm.
DJ played Ciara.
Sierra.
Same thing. They're under the blankets, cuddled up next to each other. And then they made the video.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal. Go Hawks!
And he pops up from under a blanket, too, which is the funny part.
That's fantastic. I'm so glad other people are having fun with this. So anyway, Russell Wilson just a couple hours ago, 3 hours ago, did a press conference about this. And he said, hey, I want to be a Seahawk forever.
I didn't have to think about it too much. I mean, I think that
you kind of had to think about it a lot because you did say that if we didn't get a deal done by midnight yesterday, you would have walked or you wouldn't have signed, period. I mean, that's what the reporting suggested.
It's a reality in professional sports. You know, it's just a reality just in anything you do, you know, any occupation. It's not just, I think that, you know, we always got to realize that we get to play this game. You know, I'm fortunate to play this game, but it is our job, and it's, you know, it's something that we take very, very seriously. Every moment, every play, every day, every time we wake up, our families too. You know, all the.
By the way, no time for sleep, and he was so tired. Maybe if you slept some more, you wouldn't be so tired at 12:34 on a Monday night.
The hours that we have to spend away from our families and everything else, just because we're trying to make sure we win for our city, for our teammates, for everyone, for ourselves, everything else. You know, as a team, and so. I think that, you know, ever since I put on the blue and green, this is what I've always envisioned in my life, is to wear this forever. It's always a reality that may not have been the case, but, you know, I think that was always my hope and my prayer and goal. And we're just getting started. There's a lot more to do. So we're not satisfied where we are and what we're doing.
So he's now the highest paid player in the NFL. And he says he never thought about being the highest paid player. I'm curious, at what point during this snippet, just 34 seconds of him answering that question, when I'm just going to call nonsense. Because everyone dreams of being the highest paid whatever in whatever profession they're in. And I have to assume there's a lot more of that in either the arts, entertainment, or sports field.
I never thought about being the highest paid player.
Liar. There's no way that that's true. You've never thought about it ever? When coming up with how much money you would like to get from the Seahawks, deservedly so, he's a great quarterback. You never thought about doing better than Aaron Rodgers? You didn't look at the Aaron Rodgers deal and be like, I'd like to replicate that. I'd like to get kind of close.
I think I always did believe I'd hopefully be a great winner, though. That's just kind of my mentality. I didn't come here just to make it in the NFL. Yeah. My goal was to be able to make a stamp. And Bobby and I had many conversations our first year, just before the season, about B-Wags, about just being great, and just being obsessed with being great and what that would be like and what we could do and just proving people wrong.
I don't know. I don't like him anymore.
Really?
Yeah, because when the money thing wasn't a part of the conversation, he was very consistent in his brand. But then he clearly, by making this so public, their team made it public by saying, hey, you've got until the end of the day. Like, of course, that's going to leak. And then you made it all about the money when I never thought you were making about the money. Like, you certainly weren't putting that forward. And now that it's all about the money, you're the richest guy, then you come out and say, oh, the money's not all that important. That's not really what it. Come on. Why can't you just say the money's important? Is there anyone out there who would be upset with any player who is in a sport that maybe you've got 8 years to be really, really good and make a lot of money for the rest of your life so you don't have to work? Is there anyone out there who would be mad and be like, oh my gosh, he's asking for so much money? No, I want him to make as much money as he can. I hope you want me to make as much money as I can. I want you guys listening right now, let's say you're driving around in Monroe, maybe you're in the office in Bellevue, maybe you're headed home to Mercer Island, maybe you're hanging out in Milton, the gem of Pierce County. I want you to make as much money as humanly possible. I want you to make what you're worth. And I want you to be in a position where you can demand more and more and more money because you're so important to the business that you work for. I don't begrudge people for making money. I get mad when people downplay the importance of this. Don't tell me that this isn't really about the money, because you could be working right now for significantly less than being the highest paid player in the NFL. You chose to play hardball for more money. Good for you. I'm glad you did that.
You're forgetting something. Who would dislike him making more money? We are in a city run by progressives who literally chased Amazon out of here for making
that's
a lot
true,
of money.
But that's a corporation.
They hate it. Russell's going to be a corporation by the time this thing's
that's
done.
That's true. I do wonder what's the diagram called?
The Venn diagram.
The Venn diagram. Thank you. I almost said
the two
Zen
circles.
I was all like the Zen diagram.
Are you feeling Zen right now?
On that diagram? Venn. On the Venn diagram, I wonder where the overlap is of angry activist who's mad at people like Russell Wilson versus normally would be an angry activist, but they're just fans of the Seahawks.
I think
there's got to be an overlap of some kind that indicates that there's someone who's legitimately upset with Russell Wilson. Although we don't know how much money he gives to charity. He's very charitable, it seems. At least giving his time.
I mean, I think a large chunk of his salary should go to housing the homeless, personally. I think we got to take it and put it into that situation. I think
he would be homeless if he didn't make $160 million.
Oh.
He would be.
Yeah.
Like, if he made, let's say, $1 million, where would he live?
Not in Seattle.
I am kind of curious from folks out there, if you want to send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. If any of this changes your view specifically of Russell Wilson, just say you're okay with the money. I don't understand the downplaying of the money. You're rich. Awesome. That's cool. I want to be as rich as you. You're listening to the Jason Rant Show. Me doing this job makes me nearly as rich as Russell Wilson.
Right.
I mean, I'm closer to Russell Wilson than you are.
Right. But in the grand, like, if you were to step back and take like a look from far away, it wouldn't.
Shut up. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
Wow.
Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. President Donald Trump announced that he'd like to see migrants caught illegally entering the United States sent to sanctuary cities all around the country. Now, we have quite a few sanctuary cities right here in Washington State. In fact, as a state, we're a sanctuary state. Burien is a sanctuary city. Their mayor, Jimmy Mata, claims that this is a bully tactic. And Mayor Mata joins me now. Mayor, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me on.
So when you first saw this tweet or heard about this tweet, what was your initial reaction?
Well, first of all, sadness. And, you know, this president seems to have this attack against immigrants, but mainly against the Hispanic community. You know, I've always said when I talk to people, you know, we as a society have built this country. I mean, you know, everybody's fought for this country and to be where we're at. You know, we've had to, it wouldn't have been for the Native Americans with, you know, the Navajos helping us in the war, we wouldn't have won the war. So, you know, to me, when we look at what does it mean to be an American, it means to understand that we love our country and that we cherish the rights that we have here of freedom of speech.
Sure, but he's speaking specifically about people who are trying to come into this country who are not legally allowed to be in this country yet, right? I mean, so there's a little bit of a difference between, you know, Mexican Americans who absolutely are an integral part of this country and where we are versus, you know, folks who are citizens.
Sure doesn't seem like it, because when you have the President of the United States, you know, having this rhetoric coming out of his mouth, you know, I have to prove that I'm an American every day, right? Because, you know, have brown skin, have black hair, speak Spanish, you know, and so his words, his mannerism, his stance, it affects us all. You know, just yesterday we had a man assaulted here in Burien, and, you know, Trump's name was mentioned and was punched in the ear, right? So just because he was religiously dressed, to me, first of all, we're having a crisis in those countries. I don't know what the issue is. I do know that why my parents migrated to the United States, and it was because of Chiquita Banana and the country being destabilized. So my parents, I mean, I'm sure that my parents didn't want to leave their family to come to the United States. My father always told me, hey, mijo, this is your country. You got to build it. You got to help, you know, make sure that you nurture it.
Sure.
You know, our countries have issues, right? So, but, you know, I would like to see a leader that steps up and say and calls out the Republican Democratic Party and says, hey, we need to fix this immigration problem that we have broken already with people that have been here for many generations, many years. On top of that, we need to sit down with those presidents of those countries and figure out, hey, what's the issue here, right? Like, why is it that these people are fleeing? You know, he talks about having criminals and gang members and cartels coming to the United States. You know, where those cartels and gang members are there controlling those communities and creating havoc in those communities and displacing moms, dads, and children in those countries, right? So, you know, this country's never turned around and not helped their neighbors when it comes to asylum seekers or individuals that are going through atrocities in their country.
Sure, but you certainly understand that you have to abide by certain rules in order to come into this country. So let's talk specifically about this idea that, let's say someone's trying to get into this country illegally by crossing a border, not necessarily going through a point of entry and applying for refugee status or applying for asylum seekers. The president says, okay, we should put these folks who are trying to come into this country, the ones that you're just talking about, who are fleeing these dangerous scenarios in their own home countries, put them in sanctuary cities. But you're saying in response to that, that is a bully tactic. So how exactly is that a bullying tactic when it sounds like you're open?
What this president, what he's trying to do, he's trying to push his agenda and his administration through his administration by, you know, saying, hey, if the Democrats aren't going to get on board with my way, then it's going to be the highway, and this is what I'm gonna do to them.
But isn't that what you want?
There's no. Let's have a conversation. What's the issue? What is the immigration?
I mean, we've clearly, with respect, Mayor Mata, we've clearly been having a conversation, right? I think you would concede this. We've been having this conversation that certainly has happened before President Trump has gotten there. But isn't he essentially saying what you want to have happen, which is allow people who are seeking this kind of a asylum status to be allowed into this country? He's literally saying, okay, we will let these people into sanctuary cities. How is that what you want?
What we want is we want to figure out, number one, why is it that people are migrating to the United States?
Okay.
This is his the way that he's portraying and articulating the story is completely wrong. You know, look, not everybody that comes to this country is a criminal, rapist, and a drug dealer.
Correct.
I know my, you know, I know I'm not. I know my parents aren't. I know my family members aren't. I know my neighbors aren't.
Right? Totally agree.
He's characterizing the community. So the reality is that, you know, if the president was about fixing the immigration problem, you know, he'd sit down, first of all, with, you know, the Republicans and Democrats and come out and figure out, okay, well, how can we fix the DACA situation in this country? How can we figure out, you know, what are the issues?
They've done that. They're clearly at an impasse, right? I mean, they're 100% at an impasse, and it doesn't seem like the Democrats or, frankly, the Republicans want to do anything on this because I think they like to fight. But specifically on this one particular plan, and then I'm happy to have the conversation about the greater immigration conversation, on this particular idea, even though I tend to think it's trolling, I don't think he's acting legitimately here. Isn't it specifically what you want? Don't you want the folks who right now are being housed in, you know, detention centers as they await their fate as to whether or not they're going to be allowed in this country? Don't you want them to come into this country?
Well, what I want to make sure is that there's a process followed and making sure that they're not locked up in cages like we've seen pictures coming on national news.
From the Obama administration.
No, this is from the Trump administration.
There were photos that were put out. There were photos that were put out of kids in cages that were from the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen on the news of what we got going on with families splitting up. On top of that, I've heard from families that have been split up. To me, it's just not the way that, you know, we should be handling the immigration crisis and the asylum crisis in this country, right? Like, you know, if we have four buses tomorrow. You know, we as a community, I know, will come together mm-hmm. and figure out where we find, you know, food, shelter, figure out, you know, how we're going to help as a community. Got to tell you that our moral compass is just, it's out of focus, and this is being caused by our president of the United States. I think that here in Burien, as we continue to, you know, we got bigger situations in our community that we're dealing with, the drug epidemic, the, mm-hmm. you know, youth on youth violence, you know, some of the things that, you know, we're challenged with. You know, this president has not, time in and time over, more than 30 times has tried to push some policies that are against the law anyways, right? So to me, you know, it's just the individual is acting like a bully. I've seen bully before. I've dealt with bullies. And, you know, best thing to deal with bullies is just keep doing what we're doing, which is building strong communities. Always remember that we got to look at people as humans because we are humans and that we're imperfect. And so that's what we're doing here in Burien. Look, this national rhetoric that this individual is continuing to spread across the United States. You know, look, he has every right to. It's the United States of America. He's the president of the United States. I think at the end of the day, what we as a community need to do is go to the ballot box.
Sure. I think that's certainly a valid
value.
Yeah, that's certainly a valid way to express any displeasure or support. By the way, if you're just joining me, Burien Mayor Jimmy Mata is on the line. I guess you're still not quite answering my question directly. So let me put it this way. If the president right now said, we're going to send some of these folks who currently are being taken away from their family, separated at the border, we're going to bring them to Burien. Are you saying, yes, we'll accept you or no, we won't?
Well, let me just put it this way. Most of, I would say, those individuals that have a different philosophical view of how we deal with immigrants, if they would say, would you open up your house to an immigrant or an undocumented individual? Sure, I'll open up my door. I'll make sure that they have a place to sleep. I'll make sure they have a place to eat and make sure that, you know, they're going to be okay, right? I'm going to look at them through the lens of a human being. You know, I'm a God-fearing man, so I do believe that, you know, you got to treat your neighbor just the way you want to be treated. Today it's them. Tomorrow maybe it's me. And so I would say that I would always open the door for those people that are in need. I do it today. I do it tomorrow. And I'm going to continue to, you know, help individuals that are less fortunate than I am.
But then explain to me why you're upset with this move. Again, it doesn't sound like this particularly is a bullying tactic, right? I mean, you're saying this
to
is
me, it's a bullying tactic.
But what is it bullying?
I've been living in this country as a brown man. I was born as a brown man, but
yeah.
Now as a brown man, I got to tell you, I understand how, you know, the way that this individual has articulated his message, has said what he said. This guy is a bully. He's showed it time in, time out.
But is this a bullying tactic? But you're
trying to build community together.
No, I get
people
it.
That are getting beat up. You got people that are being assaulted because of the way this individual is acting.
Yes, a conservative was actually assaulted this week on campus because she was proudly supporting conservative politics.
But
I don't disagree with that main point. My question is, in this particular instance, having nothing to do with anything other than this one particular instance, you called this a bullying tactic, and I'm trying to figure out, because I honestly don't understand, why don't you call the president's bluff?
There is no willingness to work together.
He just said...
That's what a bully does, right? He comes in, he shows his ability to do what he thinks he can do. He's getting regulated by, you know, rules and regulations and laws that have been set up and making sure that we don't lose our democracy. And we continue to be a great nation of, you know, the right to choose, the right to be able to have freedom of speech, the right to the press.
The president came to the table and said, but with respect, the president came to the table and said DACA would be discussed and you would get a pass on DACA if you give some money to the border. Now, the Democrats were the one who said, we do not want that 100% at all. We are never going to put into that.
At the border. We are one of the most sophisticated countries in the world when it comes to technology.
Okay.
In Washington State, we have Microsoft, we have Google, we have Amazon. I mean, we have the ability to figure out how we're going to secure the border with technology, not a wall. The wall did not work in Germany. It did not, with the Great Wall of China, it did not work. It's not going to work in the United States of America.
I mean, should we take down the wall?
I don't think we need a wall there.
At all.
We don't need a wall there. At all.
Do you think we should have open borders?
We need to secure our borders. We need to secure the borders just like we need to secure the borders in Canada. Mm-hmm. And secure the borders in Mexico. The whole attention's in Mexico, right? And the reality is, since this president launched his campaign, you know, he has issues with the Hispanic community in the United States of America. And when it becomes, you know, the undocumented people coming in up from the south end, I mean, the individual, you know, has just viciously attacked our community.
But isn't that where they're coming from? I mean, isn't, to be fair, we don't have a problem of thousands of people trying to come up through the Canadian border. Now, if we did, I think that there would be a significant concern that would...
I don't think we focused on it, right? Like, I think that we've been focusing on, you know...
Yeah, but what are the numbers coming in from Canada?
Population.
Yeah, but what are the numbers coming in from the Canadian border versus the border between the United States and Mexico? I mean, you would at least concede that we're getting more people coming from...
Secure waters, secure borders, borders. The wall's not going to work. The wall's not going to keep us safe. What we need to do is have technology and making sure, look, we got to make sure we take care of our wildlife out there, our wild plants. I mean, we got Native Americans' property that was already robbed once, and now we're saying we're going to rob it again. I mean, geez.
Well, wasn't Burien's property once belonging to Native Americans?
Sure was. And
are we giving that back up?
You know, descendants of Guatemalans, and I consider myself a native of Guatemala, Mayan descent. So not only did it happen in the United States, but it happened in Guatemala as well, right? So the reality here is, unless we come together as a community and we figure out how do we deal with this, and more than anything, I think as elected officials at a congressional level, I mean, there's not much I can do at a national congressional level.
Sure.
The only thing I can do here in Burien is figure out how do we continue to work together and making sure that...
You like me, and I like you, and I appreciate your willingness to actually debate this issue.
Hey, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
I want to say thank you for the invitation, and big hug out to your audience, and let's continue to see how we can build a strong and vibrant country.
There you go. I'm with you on that. Welcome back to the Jason Rancher. We're live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have to talk about something that I saw on Twitter today that went crazy. So there's a new trailer out for the next and final Star Wars movie. And I actually found the trailer to be pretty underwhelming. And since Disney took over, Star Wars has just been awful. But to be fair, I didn't go into this being a diehard fan. And I totally understand people who are really excited and passionate about movies, right? I'm super pumped to see The Avengers. But when I saw The Avengers trailer, I didn't break down the way Eric Butts did when he saw the trailer for the Star Wars film. So he is based in Kentucky. He is a blogger, a video blogger. And he's a crazy fan. And I would argue the emphasis should be on crazy because he taped his reaction to the trailer. And this dude just loses it. We'll play some of the audio from this very long clip, but a lot of it is visual. So if you want to check out how just embarrassing this is, you can go to twitter.com/JasonRants. Here's just a short clip. His eyes are wide.
What? No, the Emperor.
He's crying.
What a show of masculinity.
But so people made fun of him, and they did what you just did, which is call him out for being a little...
That's not what I said.
Well, kind of called him girly, kind of hit at his masculinity. And here's the thing. People mocked him, then some defended him from being mocked. And I don't want to be mean to this guy. I have no intention of being mean to him, but I sent out this tweet earlier today of, you don't have to be mean, but we also have to stop pretending that this reaction is normal or healthy. This is neither normal nor healthy. I have a friend in the building, James, who is a hardcore movie nerd, and he saw the Star Wars trailer too. He almost got to this point. I had to pull him back. Like, you have to pull people back from embarrassing themselves. This is a dude who puts it on tape. He puts it out on YouTube. People start to mock him. And then he acts, or the people around him act, like he's being victimized. No, you're putting this out there because you want this kind of reaction. But I don't think we have to be mean. I just think we have to say this is not normal behavior. You can be excited about things, but to literally cry. This dude cried almost the entire length of the trailer. I get people's passion. I don't quite understand why we want to normalize this kind of behavior. Because this, to me, is a cry for help. Of you need more people in your life. You need different passions on things that matter. I get a little bit more the reaction to sporting events than this, because at least in a sporting event, it's real people doing real things. It's at the end of the day, it's still rather frivolous when you think about it, but it's certainly less frivolous than a stupid movie. I've never been this excited for anything in my life. And maybe he is the normal one and I'm the crazy one. I don't get happy about anything. I mean, I'm deeply depressed and I hate my life and I hate myself. But beyond that, I just don't feel feelings. I just realized I'm jealous of him.
Clearly.
Let's
do a reaction video to the Star Wars trailer and compare it, you and him.
I can't even fake the emotions that I'm just dead inside. Coming up next, Ben Shapiro right here. On AM 770 KTTH.